and the privilege today to introduce our guest speaker. He brought a powerful word last service. And so our guest speaker today is Pastor Norman Gray. And he pastors a church from the Assembly of Believers Church in northern India. And I want to tell you this, that he has planted over 10 churches so far. And he's planting another church next month. And that is awesome. And we're so excited to have him today. And he has a beautiful wife named Supriya. Did I say it right, Pastor? Supriya. He also has two beautiful young children. And so, y'all do me a favor. Let's give Pastor Norman a good promised land welcome to the stage this morning. Yeah. God bless you, Pastor.
Good morning, church. Privilege and honor to be here this morning. Third service, my last go at Promised Land San Marcos this year. Greetings to you from India, from Assembly of Believers Church. Of course, my beautiful wife, I married way up. And two beautiful boys, handsome boys. Amazing. I miss them. I'm flying on Tuesday. This is my last Sunday on my seven-week trip. And so I really thank Pastor Robin and his wife for allowing me to come here. 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago, I came to America to be a co-pastor in a church in Yuma, Arizona. I was 150 pounds, probably the same height, six-pack, handsome, all black hair. And in my thing, and what I thought in India, because if you see like TV shows and stuff, at that time there were not a lot of American TV shows in India, but I thought there are only two kinds of people in America, white and black. The reason I say black, because I was called that I can say black or I can say much more things, but the pastor that brought me, his name was Tyrone Jones, so he's a cousin. And so I became family to him, he became family to me, and so I was introduced to a set of names that I have never heard. LaDawn and Leticia and Kamisha and Jermaine, you know, what are these names? I'm like, what are you guys from different planet or something? Anyways, I was introduced to these different names and food and all that. And then finally, I was by myself. It was just the second or third day at Pastor Tyrone's house. Everybody had gone to work and I was still in jet lag. And so the doorbell rings. And so I get the door and this guy starts talking to me in a language that I've never heard. And I'm like, we are in America, and he's talking in the language. He's probably trying to say some bad words to me, or what is he trying to do? Anyways, he was a salesman, and he was trying to sell me something. And then I said English. He said no, and you know he shook his head. I said, I cannot speak your language. But anyways, that night when everybody came back, I told Pastor Tyrone and his family that something happened, and they started laughing. And then they took me to Chili Peppers, and I was introduced to the greatest food on planet, Mexican food. I waited 23 years till 13 years ago to be introduced to the best food. And so I carry that food all the way into India. And so this is all your gift. Inside it hides the six pack. But I'm so blessed that I carry America with me all the way, everywhere I go. And I was just amazed to the salsa, the tacos, and the machaca burrito. And so I have America in my heart and my body also. See, God has done amazing things in India. And before I go into my message, I want to share what God has done. You know, God already, before I came to America to be the pastor of this church, I knew that I was here for a limited period of time. And so I went back. And before coming to America, God had put in my heart to plant a church way up north in the city of Chandigarh. If you know anything about India, the capital is New Delhi. And I'm about 180 miles north of that. And so it's way up north. Something unique about India, every state has their own languages. And so there are probably 1,100 language. Every city, sometimes a village, a small village has their own language. And so you cannot just decide to relocate in different part of the country because you'll have totally different food, totally different kind of people, totally different skin color, and totally different atmosphere, you know, that you are used to. So I came from one city to America and then going back to a totally different, I was going back to India, but it felt that I'm going to a foreign country because I didn't know the food, I didn't know the people, didn't know one single person in that city that God called me to go. And so we started this church, and God started blessing us. Now we have 10 churches. The goal that our team has is 100 churches by next 10 years. I thought it's going to take 10 years to establish one church, but since 2006 until 2016, we've been able to plant 10 churches. We built a building a couple of years ago for one of our villages, and then we are about to build another building for one of our branch churches, and God has been so good to us. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the resistance from the government, God has blessed the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a few pictures that let's just look at very fast. And so yeah, this is kind of this is the church that we built. And so you see few turbans there, one in the purple, one in the red. And see all these people, we built a church right in the middle of a field. And everybody in this church is first generation believers. First time they accepted Jesus Christ. And so 100% congregation is from Hindu and Sikh background. So this is my team. This is my team and my wife on the extreme right in the first row. And this is my team, my local church team. Then the next picture, please. This one is a few of my pastors. So two of those pastors you see, the one in the back has a purple turban and one in the front has a tiny turban. So it tells you the tiny turban is single and the big turban is married. Because when you're single, less responsibility, so less weight on your head. Married, big turban. More responsibilities and you more headache to go through, Anyways, this is a very this is a place that our church meets. See, all the states surrounding New Delhi are all anti-Christian governments. They don't want the church to flourish. Anyways, the persecution in India does not happen to denominational churches because they are hardly converting anybody. You know, so you will never hear a Catholic church or a Methodist church or Anglican church being persecuted. Churches like ours are persecuted that because we are more than 90% people in my church are first-time believers, Hindus and Sikh people. And so this school, when we started the church, we started in a Seventh-day Adventist building. And so they met on a Saturday, we met on a Sunday, and when we outgrew the building, they threw us out. Then we moved to a Catholic church. You know, Catholics, you know, good people. Anyways, when we outgrew their facility, they threw us out, and we were really loud. And then I moved to a Christian school. And the problem with that Christian school was there were 10 different churches in classrooms and stuff. We were the biggest church, and we were the loudest church. And so this lady, once my drummer was playing during worship, she came and she snatched the drumsticks, and I thought, I'm done with this Christian school. See, a lot of times, it's the persecution does not come from Hindu or, you know, different people. It comes from your own people, you know. And Paul talks about it, that he's persecuted by his own people. And so God takes me, I was like looking for a place to worship, and God takes me to this school, and I know the school is a Hindu school, belongs to a Hindu, and a super rich guy, and probably he's not going to allow us to have a church there. And so I sneak into his building after school hours and saw this basement, and God told me this is the place. And the next day I go to the owner of the school and talk to him about giving us this place. And this was a Friday morning. And by the grace of God, he agreed on that particular day that you can move from next Sunday. So on the following Sunday, we were in this basement. This is an older picture from last year. God has flooded this place. We have more than 250 people right now in our church. And I'm going to tell a little bit more about you, but just pray for Assembly of Believers Church. Easy to remember, ABC. Assembly of Believers Church. And when I first moved to America, everybody was asking me, that's not your real name, Norman Morris Gray. You know, you've changed your name just to be in America. I'm like, no, that's my real name. They said, you know, you probably some Patel because all the motel belong to the Patel. In India, we do not have 7-Eleven. You know, we don't even know a 7-Eleven. And here, all the 7-Eleven people are Indian people. Everybody has an Indian doctor. Everybody, you know, you call DirecTV on a 1-800 number, and they're talking, hello, this is so-and-so from Ohio. And you can tell that you are not talking from Ohio. You're from India, you know. You know, you're not talking from Ohio, wherever, you know. So we have got almost majority of your jobs, and please hope that Donald Trump becomes president, that he brings all your jobs back. Anyways, that was just a joke. See, people are celebrating Donald Trump's birthday in America, just in India, sorry. They are like, this guy is going to go against the Muslims and let's celebrate his birthday. And so I don't know why they are doing that in India, but this is what happened. I said, this is my real name, Norman Morris Gray, and they didn't believe it. And I was like, I started hating my name when I came to America. I'm like, these American people, what do they think of themselves? They can have a fancy name, and I cannot have a fancy name. And so then I was really upset. I said, man, I wish I had an Indian name. And then until Facebook happened. I have not told this to the first two services, but I'm telling you, until Facebook happened, I'm the only Norman Morris Gray in the entire Facebook now. There is no Norman Morris Gray other than me. So you type Norman Morris Gray, G-R-A-Y, that's me right there. So now I tell all the friends that, you know, 12 years ago were teasing me, look at this. There's so many Tyrones on Facebook. Yeah, forget that. There's so many Michaels. There's only one Norman Morris Gray, exclusive on Facebook. And so I love my name now, and I just thank God for He has called us all by name. Hallelujah. Before our parents conceived the names in their minds and heads, God had already planned a purpose and a destiny for us. I believe that today, next 30 minutes, is going to bless you, is going to empower you, enable you to walk in your destiny and your future. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 50. It talks about the battle between David and Goliath. And you know, there's a lot of things that was going on before David arrived into the scene. But this particular scripture talks about that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a sword and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Just think about that. When David got upon that day, he did not know what's coming today, you know? A lot of times you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in 2016. Every year begins with a prediction. And you know, every church, every big minister, this is the year of the open doors. This is the year of the closed doors. This is the year of blood moons. And this is the year of, you know, water moons and all that. You know, every year we have kind of predictions, and we want to know what we are doing. You know, as men and women of, we want to plan everything, and we want to know everything what we are doing. But on that particular day, when David woke up, he didn't know what he was up to, what God was up to, and what he was gonna accomplish on that particular day. It says that David did not have a sword. See, a lot of times, church, our focus is not on the things that we own or have, but we think and focus on the things that we do not have. Can we get an amen? And a lot of times when we focus on the things when we do not have, then we are dissatisfied, we are discontent, and we live in discontentment and dissatisfaction because our focus is on the things that we do not have. A lot of times we say, if I was born in a rich family, if I had a better education, if I had a better opportunity, if I had a better friends, I had made better choices, if I had a better spouse, if I had a better gender, you know, that's what's happening in the Western world. You know, you're born a man and then you are like, I read something on Facebook that Reagan put a man on the moon and Obama put a man in the woman's bathroom. And so... The devil is trying to mess, devil is trying to show you the things that you do not have. That's the deception of the devil. See, God made you man, God made you woman, you be that. Do not try to get, you know, there you go. You're dissatisfied and discontent with when you focus on the things that you do not have. But here, David went to the battlefield with some food for his brothers. Did not know that he's gonna fight this giant. Did not have a sword, but he had a few things. Let's talk about the things that he had. In verse 40 it says, and he took his staff in his hand And he chose for himself five smooth stones, which I have a few up here, from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. So the first thing that he had was a staff, the second thing that he had a shepherd's bag, and the third thing that he had was a sling. His sling was in his hand, right? Never had a sword. On that particular day when he went there, he had a bag, he had a staff, and he had a sling in his right hand. For example, if David was right-handed, we'll just make it default that David was right-handed. So he had a staff in his left hand, a bag on his shoulder, and the sling in his right hand. And Bible tells us that he picked five smooth stones. A few months ago, me and my family was in a camp that we organized up in the Himalayan mountains, and there was a river right on the campsite. And so in the free time, we all used to hang out next to the river, and my son would pick stones like these, and he would throw in the river. And I was like, no, Eddie, that's not how you do it. On the third day, I said, Eddie, no, that's not how you do it. You know, you pick a stone like this, and you make an angle and throw it on the water, and it bounces off the water, and whoever bounces the most wins. You know, that's the game. And he said, Dad, I'm not doing that. I know how to do it, but I'm not doing what you're telling me. I said, what are you doing then, Eddie? He said, Dad, I'm making water stones. I'm like, what do you mean by you making water stones? You don't have to make water stones. It's just there. He said, Dad, out of all the stories he knows from the Bible, the one story that he knows by heart is the story of David and Goliath. He said, Dad, what if there is a battle between David and Goliath here? I'm making it easier for David to find smooth stones because all these stones at the banks of the river are rough. I'm making it easier for David so that he can just come and pick my water stone and put it in his sling and hit Goliath. And that blew my mind because a six-year-old boy is thinking ahead in the future that we have to equip the church. See, that's what we need. The church has to equip the next generation. If the next generation church is facing the same kind of problems that you have been facing, see, all of us want our biological kids to not face the problems that we face. We want to make life better for them. And so when my son said this, it blew my mind that he, six-year-old boy, is thinking about something in the future. He's doing something that, you know, it's never going to happen. See, David and Goliath are never going to fight, but we have to fight, right? We have to go through battles like David and Goliath did every single day, every single week, every single month. And sometimes we think, how in the world God has allowed us to be in this fight? Church, I want to tell you something about this shepherd's bag this morning and these five smooth stones. This stone is from the same brook, and somebody gave me after the second service, this is the same stone from the same brook in Israel. And anyways, so David picked five stones. Now these stones don't belong to the river or belong to the nature. They belong to David. Amen? See, the first step for God to use us, that he wants to own us. Hallelujah. He has paid a price by the blood of Jesus, and he owns us by the blood of Jesus. And when he owns us, before he owns us, he picks us up from the world and puts us in his bag. See, David, before using, see, it doesn't say that David put four stones in the bag and the fifth one was in his hand or sling. He put all the five stones in the bag. And church, I want to ask you a question. Are you in the bag of your shepherd? See, before God uses us, he wants to own us, have complete authority over our lives, not by force. See, this stone is a non-living thing, and it does not have a choice. But we as human beings, as living things, we have choice. See, the kingdom of God is by force on everything that you see. In fact, on your own body, the kingdom of God is by force. You can use the best aloe vera cream and age miracle and all that, but still you will get wrinkles one day in your life. You can use all the hair color. You can use, you know, age. I saw advertisement on television or on internet, age miracle. How does that happen? Bible says by worrying, you cannot increase or decrease one single day in your life. So the kingdom of God is by force. The kingdom of God is by force on every single thing that God created. But there's one place where the kingdom of God is not by force is the human heart. God has given us the power of choice. And sometimes that we misuse the power of our choices. And these stones did not have a choice to be in the bag of the shepherd, but let's learn this morning the characteristics, the qualities of these stones. So the first thing that I want to tell you this morning is, it's not my will, it's the will of the shepherd. To be used by God, to be used in the ministry or in life or in family, it's not my choice. Jesus said, let not my will, let your will be done. Amen? So the first thing is, it's not my choice. However God wants to use me, wherever God wants to use me, I'm ready to be used. The second thing, these stones did not have any complaints. A lot of times we have complaints in church, right? A lot of times the music is too loud. The pastor, you know, one family that I know, they left the church, not here, but this is my first time here, but somewhere in America. They left the church because their pastor, they had been telling the pastor to wear a suit and tie, and he would not preach in suit and tie. So they left the church. Is that a reason to leave the church? No, because the reason why is because man has a lot of choices. Man has a lot of choices. And a lot of times we misuse, we abuse the power of our choice. See, these stones did not have any complaints. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, if my kingdom is not of this world, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. But the reality is, his servants fight. And you know what? The main topic of their disagreement is? The main topic of the disagreement is the word of God. For example, pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. You know, we are divided into that. See, the church is not divided into worldly things. The church has different opinion from the word of God. See, a lot of people figured out last year or something like that when the blood moons were appearing. You know, some writers were writing about blood moon. Now Jesus is coming back. And they became millionaires by selling the books on blood moons. And Jesus didn't come back. Now they are busy writing, why didn't Jesus come back? And some foolish people are going to make him millionaire again. See, Bible says Jesus does not even know when he's coming back. How can a man figure out when Jesus is coming back? Some people have figured out everything. You know, are you going to complain if you believe, I don't know what this church believes, but if you believe in pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib and Jesus doesn't come according to your belief system, are you going to say, Jesus, I'm not coming with you because you didn't come pre-tribulation? Are you going to say that? No, because it's his will. He decides when to come back. We can only speculate. We can only have bad calculations of his coming. But the main thing that matters is we believe that he's coming back, right? And so a lot of times his servants fight, his people disagree on the word of God. You know, this Holy Communion is not for this day. The signs and wonders and miracles don't happen. That was for that age and time. And we have disagreements on the word. The third thing they had, these stones had no competition. Bible says, consider others better than yourself. And a lot of times we think, we are the best, right? If Pastor Robin only gave me the opportunity to lead worship, if he had given me the opportunity to, rather than bringing this Indian guy who we are not able to understand, you know, rather than him preaching, I would have done a better job. Yes, you could have done a better job, but this morning I was ordained to speak. Anyways, it doesn't matter who speaks or not. It doesn't matter who's used or who gets the glory. God gets the victory and we get to share the victory. Hallelujah. 3 points. The first thing, not my will, your will. The second thing, no complaints. No complaints. It was really funny. Between the second service, I went back to the sound booth and I saw something there. It said, you know, in this section, the sound will be really loud. In the side sections, the sound will be really, really low. And there were earplugs. There are earplugs there, you know. I've never seen that. And a lot of times, we complain about sound, light. Why the smoke? Well, to your surprise, there'll be sound, there'll be light, and there'll be smoke in heaven. And if you're not used to it right now, you'll never get used to it in heaven. I was in Houston, Texas, and it was raining. Last year, my son and my worship leader came with me, and so we were sitting in a plane about to take off, and it was raining really hard, and a lightning struck our plane. The plane shook like anything, and some kids peed in their pants. Anyways, just imagine, if God wants to talk to you in his own voice, see, a lot of times, you know, God, how he talks? He talks very softly. You will never be able to bear the voice of God if he starts to talk in his own volume. You know, don't complain. We have no reason to complain, church. God gave his best. One of the songs was that he gave us his best. We have the best of heaven. Jesus Christ died for us, and we are priceless. The story goes further. Only one stone was used. The four stones were never used. But David picked, if you know about anything about why David picked five stones, was Goliath had four more brothers, four of his kin. And so David picked one for each. He did not have a backup plan. He didn't pick up 15 as if I was not able to kill Goliath by one, I'll use the second one. He had one for one. So he knew that he's called for a purpose. He only picked five stones because he had five people to kill. But these four stones were never used. But what if the authentic, the real stones that David picked and his shepherd's bag are to be found today? Do you think, will they be valuable or of no value? A few years ago, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. They are priceless. You cannot buy them in money. Church, a lot of times we are never used in church. We never get an opportunity. You never get to travel to a third world country. You never get to minister. But church, you have the same value. You have the same value. This one was used, but you have the same value. Are you getting my point? You have the same value. It doesn't matter. You guys can understand it better than everybody. You have Super Bowl every year, and the team that wins Super Bowl, they all get a ring. And so everybody's celebrating and shouting, and the celebration is as long as the game, and sometimes long, and people are shouting and hollering, and you know, interviews and big money. And so all those players are also showing off their ring who did not even spend a minute in the field. They were just sitting extras. They were just enjoying. But you know what? They're also celebrating. Somebody else scored the touchdown. Somebody else ran the yards. But they are celebrating because they have the ring. And that shows victory. You're all equal. These stones are of the same value as the one that was used. Hallelujah. Church, you have value until you realize this, that we are all one. We are all one. There's no competition in church. There's no comparison. There's no complaint. There's no complaint in church. I want to show you some people who are in the bag. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing right in front of the fiery furnace, and the king is saying, if you bow to me or my graven image, I'm going to set you free. But they said, we know that our God is able to save us. Even though our God does not save us, we will not bow to your idol. Those people are in the bag. That's what's happening in India. You know, people are getting killed. Pastors are murdered. You know, just this morning I saw a Facebook post. A pastor was stripped naked and beaten, and he got murdered this yesterday in India on Sunday morning. But you know what? We are in the bag kind of people. We are in the bag kind of people. It doesn't matter if we die for the gospel. The thing that matters is we will live for the gospel all the days of our life. Hallelujah. No matter what. Job said, according to the Hindi interpretation of the Hindi Bible that I read, it says, are we only recipient to take the good from the hand of God and not bad from the hand of God? See, Job realized this truth. He realized this, that it's not the good that matters. It's not the bad that matters. The presence of the hand of God in my life is what that matters. Hallelujah. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And even if my skin is destroyed, in the end, I will see God. Church, that's our hope. Even when we are destroyed, we do not have the money, we do not have the job, in the end, you will face God. Hallelujah. That's our eternal hope. That's our eternal hope. That's our joy. That in the end, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no pain, there's no gnashing of teeth in heaven. There is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You will not need healing in heaven. Church, you will not need healing in heaven because heaven is already a healed place. When your bodies are being transformed, when you go in the presence of God, you will already be healed. Hallelujah. He's going to give us a new body. A new attire. Everything is going to be changed. And so we are not living for the things of this world. We are living. We are Christians because we know there's a life after death. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about my wife. Her picture is going to come up on screen. This is her pre. She got diagnosed with this is 2 years ago, 19 months ago. I was doing a trip like this, and before I started my trip, she was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, and she was put on insulin 4 times a day, 3 times before meal and 1 time before bed. And so 6 weeks later, when I go back to India, I did not have the facility to do FaceTime and all that, and the internet was not that good, so we used to only talk on phone, and she never sent me a picture in the 6 weeks. And when I went back, I saw that she's almost 5'7", and for somebody who's 6.5, 7 months pregnant, her tummy was really, really little, and she was losing weight, her skin was dark, and I found out that she has kidney stones, gallbladder stones, her hemoglobin is less than 8, and she has 13 tumors, the biggest one being bigger than this Bible. She has 13 tumors, one on the uterus, one on the stomach, which is destroyed, 60% of her stomach, and 11 on the liver. And the next picture is a good picture of when she was sick. So just imagine a 7-month pregnant, 5'7", lady is weighing only 90 pounds. And the size of the baby in the womb was not more than this phone. And doctor said, she's the patient, the child is not the patient, so we'll abort the child, we'll terminate the child, and we can start. And this is the rarest of rare cancer. She's the 5th known case in the world. There's no research on this kind of cancer. The cancer does not even have a name. It's kind of like choriocarcinoma, which starts from the uterus to the stomach and to the lungs, but this her went to the liver, and 11 tumors on the liver. The night I found out, I didn't tell my wife that she has this. I told her that you just have some growth, some fibroids. And so that's why we have to admit you to the hospital. And so when we admitted to the hospital, a couple of weeks later, my sister found the courage to tell my wife that Supriya, you have cancer. But this is what my sister described. She said, Supriya, when she heard that she has this last stage cancer, and her cancer was way past beyond getting cured or healed, according to medical science, she said, she cried for a few seconds, and then she said, I have no reason to not believe that my God cannot heal me. Hallelujah. My in-laws came to India, and my father-in-law was there for a month. My mother-in-law stayed for 5 months. My mom came. And the news spread like wildfire that Pastor Norman's wife, Supriya, has this cancer. And the doctor said, we have to terminate the child because they were treating her like their trophy because everything that they were doing on her was an experiment. And so they did not want to lose her life, you know, because of the child. And so they wanted to terminate the child. According to them, the child was never to be born. Anyways, one night when they said, tomorrow morning we're going to terminate the child, I stayed that night with my wife and we were praying and God talked to me. God told me 4 things. God said, I have given you this child. It's a baby boy. Name him Andrew and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. And God specifically had to tell me that it's a boy because in India you cannot find the gender of the baby because it's illegal. A lot of people who find the gender of the baby and if it's a girl, they abort the baby, terminate the baby. And so it was impossible for us to know. But then when I told my wife, she had to take the final decision. She said, I also feel in my heart that this baby should be born. Next morning, I told the doctors, and they were gracious enough, they were kind enough to say good things, but then when we decided that we're not going to terminate the baby, they really fired us, you know, really talked trash to us. But I said, doctor, I'm the servant of the Most High God, and I believe my wife will be fine, my son will be born. You know what happened? Then God allows us to take her back home. I take her back home. And in the 8th month and 9th month, and before I take her back home, they start the chemotherapy. And I didn't know anything about chemotherapy. They thought that the chemotherapy is going to mess the child and they're going to have problem and they will terminate the child. For them, the child was dead. But for us, God had given us a promise. Amen? Her kidney stones disappeared. Her gallbladder stones disappeared. She started gaining weight. The baby started getting bigger. Her hemoglobin was more than 12 that was needed for the C-section to be done. And on December 26th, our son was born completely normal. You know what Andrew means? Andrew means strong man. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith, but not by what they see. We were seeing a weak piece of meat, not bigger than this cell phone, but God was seeing strength. Hallelujah. And the best thing is, there's no cancer in his body. All his body parts are amazing. And he's 19 months old now. He is amazing kid that I have seen. Not because he's my child, but he's one of the smartest kids that I've seen now. Andrew's. This is a latest picture, you know, one of the latest picture before I left. God has blessed us. Two of the tumors were taken out surgically while after the C-section. She came back to the house, and every 26th of the month we have to get a scan done and blood report. And on 26th April 2015, we were sitting in front of these doctors, and they said, "We want to talk to you about something." I said, "Tell us." It was the first CAT scan after her surgery, after 4 months. So the doctor said, "You know, thousands of patients come and go." And these doctors I'm talking about, these are millionaires, you know, top doctors of India, one of the best hospitals we have in our city. And these are millionaire doctors, you know, not millionaire in Indian money. They're millionaire in American money. They travel all over the world, and they have good research and good name all over the world. And so they said, "We have seen, when we used to walk in your room, we used to be full of negativity that this young lady is going to die and everything is going to be destroyed. But whenever we used to walk in your room, there was never a dull moment in your room. There was always somebody praying. There was always, Supriya was always smiling. She was never crying. We never saw an upset face or sad face. There was always something going on in your room." She said, "We have seen all kinds of people, but we have never seen Christians like you. You guys are different." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The night I got to know that she has this cancer, I asked God a question. I said, "God, why did you give my wife this cancer?" And God never said anything. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, we just need a word of God, right? And God delays it. We think in our minds that God God should tell me what's going on. And that moment of time, everything ceased. I couldn't hear the doctors. My wife was crying. One of the doctors had tears in her eyes. And then God told me, "You want to know why I gave your wife the cancer? This rarest of rare cancer. You know what happened in our city? Different, you know, we get more persecution from the churches because these denominational churches don't like us spirit-filled people. Anyways, people started saying that God has cursed this family and everything is going to be destroyed. For 5 weeks, I was not able to go to church. I had no idea. Then God told me, "You know why I gave your wife this rare cancer?" I said, "God, tell me why." God said, "So that these top doctors of India can know that I am the Lord that heals. I am the Lord that heals." And in my spirit, I asked God, "Why did you choose just Supriya? You know, why did you choose her?" He said, "Because I knew she's in my bag. She's never going to complain." Church, you're in the bag of your shepherd. Stop complaining. Stop competing. Stop fighting over doctrine. Just be in the bag of your shepherd. Be in the bag of your shepherd. She's on her way to getting healed. The big tumor that was the size of this Bible is now smaller than this stone. She has gained weight. One of the things that bothered her was that she's going to lose all her hair. She's still going through chemotherapy, but look at her hair. Hallelujah. Only God can do such things. Only our God can do such things. If any of you is familiar what the liver does, the liver cleans the blood. Right? She had 11 tumors on the liver, but there was no cancer in her blood. The reason, church, there's no cancer in the blood of Jesus, and there should be no cancer in church. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through, but this is the moment when you decide to come back in the bag of your shepherd. I really hope that Pastor Robin was here to hear this, but I want to encourage you, church, come to the bag of your shepherd. Not your will, let the will of the shepherd be done. No complaints, no competition. Last but not the least, the prodigal son came back to his father. And when he was leaving him, he said, give me the portion that belongs to me. You know? And as Christians, we have been taught, ask and you shall receive. Good, you know, ask. But then when his mind changed, when his heart changed, when he repented, then he came to his father and he said, make me as one of your servants. See, there's a whole lot difference in asking and asking to make you something. He said, the first time he said, give me. God will give you anything you'll ask. If it's in the mind of God, God will give you. But the greater revelation is, make me. Make me. Church, don't just come to church or services to ask. Come to service to be built by the hands of. He's a master maker. He's a life creator. He's going to make your life that you never imagined. People used to, I come from a super poor family. Super poor family. Did not have food to eat. We used to go to school hungry, come back hungry. Used to go to church hungry, come back hungry. 8 months, you know, hardly any food. Malnourished kids. No pictures from 1990 to 99. We were so poor, so poor. But people prophesied over me that you will go all over the world to preach the gospel. And I used to think, God, I don't have 20 cents to go 50 miles to the next city. And these people are crazy to say that. You know what? God has taken me to 23 countries just to preach the gospel. You know, when you're in the bag of your shepherd, everything will be accomplished. David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. In other words, he was saying, when the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing that my God cannot do. Church, be encouraged this morning. Pray for India, Assembly of Believers Church, ABC. Only Norman Morris Gray in the entire Facebook. Add me to your Facebook. May God bless you. Come back to the bag of your shepherd.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Norman. The only one. The only one. The greatest ability is availability. What a message. What a message of faith. I want to be in the bag. I want to be in the bag. Church, can we stand? For just a second, let's just praise God and thank God for this word today. God, we thank you for it. We thank you for touching our heart in the word today, God. God, make us moldable. God, take away contentions. Take away murmuring, disputing, complaints. God, we want to be in the bag. Use us for your purpose, for your glory, and only your glory, God. Not our will, but your will alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Yeah. We want you to know that at the end of every service, we will have leaders down here at the front if you need further prayer. We also offer baptism at the end of each service as well, but we will be having a large river baptism on August 14th. If you need to go, go in the name of Jesus. We will see you again here next week. God bless you, and go in Jesus' name. Amen.